Amen. Some years ago, my kids were in Sunday school back in Iowa, and like you expect when your kids are in Sunday school, they were learning the different Bible stories. And one of the ways that we teach some of the Bible stories to our kids, the Bible message to our kids, is we teach them by song. And I'm sure if I started to sing this song, many of you would join right in. You know, Zacchaeus was a wee little man. I'm not going to sing it, but I know you're already singing it in your head. In fact, I had a hard time even reading the gospel without like wanting to sing it in my head. But I know you know the song about Zacchaeus, this wee little man. This wee little man was he. And as the song goes on, we sing those words of Jesus: Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today. So church ended this one day, and my kids were, like I said, preschoolers, early elementary school at the time, and they were singing the song, and I said to them, what does that mean when Jesus says to Zacchaeus, I'm going to your house today? And the answer I received actually really surprised me, because I didn't expect it, but one of my kids said, it means your sins are forgiven. And I thought, yes, they get it. They get it. Most adults don't even get it when we talk about this story, but they got it. It means his sins are forgiven. Our gospel passage today, this familiar story of Zacchaeus, is a story about Jesus eating dinner with sinners. It's a story about God's grace and God's forgiveness. So let's talk a little bit for a moment about Zacchaeus, who he was and what he did for a living. So the song reminds us that Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. And the Bible does tell us, as we heard in the gospel, that he was short in stature. But even more significant to the point of the story isn't that Zacchaeus is vertically challenged, but that he's a tax collector. He's a tax collector. In fact, the text tells us that Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector in Jericho. And you know, and I know at different times over the years here at St. Peter's, we've had a lot of workers with the franchise tax board. So what's the big deal about being a tax collector anyway? Well, the problem with being a tax collector in first century Judea was much different than being a tax collector today. Well, maybe. But the question when it comes to our tax collectors in the New Testament is this: who were they collecting taxes for? Who are they collecting taxes for? And the answer is a big part of the problem, because of course they're collecting taxes for Rome. They're collecting taxes for Caesar. They were collecting taxes for the enemy. Rather than supporting your own people, you're working against them. You're a traitor. You're a turncoat. Rather than fighting against Roman rule and oppression, the publicans, the tax collectors, were helping them out. So they've turned their back on their own people and helped the enemy. And we're also told that Zacchaeus is wealthy. We're told that he's rich and he's wealthy. And why is he wealthy? Was Rome really paying him that well? Well, probably not. But the other reason that the tax collectors were so hated and considered to be such unclean lawbreakers is that they cheated people out of their money. More money than they needed to collect for Rome. They were cheats. They were skimming money off the top and setting themselves up nicely so they're well-to-do. They are often ostracized in society, but their lavish lifestyle allowed them to form their own kind of elite society. So they've been cheating people. They've been breaking the seventh commandment, thou shalt not steal. They've been stealing from their own people in order to help Rome and to set themselves up nicely. Throughout the Gospels, we hear tax collectors mentioned as synonymous with sinners. Think about Matthew 18, if you will. It's this message we get about forgiveness, about if someone sins against you and you go to them and they won't listen, you take witnesses and then take it to the church. And then we're told that if your brother or sister in Christ doesn't repent, they are to be treated how? Like tax collectors and sinners, Jesus says. So these tax collectors, they're sinners. Zacchaeus may have been a wee little man, but he's a big-time sinner. He was lost. But our gospel message ends today with Jesus reminding Zacchaeus and reminding us that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. I honestly don't know why Zacchaeus climbed that sycamore tree, at least in his own mind, why he climbed that sycamore tree. I don't think he was seeking Jesus per se, at least not the way we might think, but he certainly wanted to see who this Jesus man was that was coming into town. You know, it's a social gathering as Jesus comes into town. A large crowd has gathered, and Zacchaeus wanted to be part of it. My hunch, though, is that Zacchaeus didn't go in order to receive forgiveness, but because the whole town was going. What I do know is that even if his own motives for going and climbing that tree were just to see what the hoopla was all about, God knew why Zacchaeus was in that tree. God knew Zacchaeus would be in that tree. God sought Zacchaeus out. He didn't seek God out. God sought him out. And then we get those wonderful words of gospel that I asked my kids about years ago. We get those words of Jesus, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. And this isn't the first instance of Jesus eating, fellowshipping with sinners. The Pharisees have long grumbled that this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. On more than one occasion, we have seen Jesus dining in the house of a tax collector. In fact, one of those occasions takes place right after he even called one of them, one of these tax collectors, Levi, also known as Matthew, to be one of his 12 disciples. With the Pharisees, they grumble nonetheless. He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And here is the message that I want us to receive today. Jesus, God in the flesh, Jesus dines with sinners. Jesus eats dinner with sinners. The good news, the gospel for this Sunday, is that Jesus has come to your house. Though you were a sinner, though you had rebelled against God and his ways, broken his commandments, turned your back on him many different times, though you have fallen short of the glory of God, Jesus has come to your house. And like Zacchaeus, he has forgiven you all of your sins. Jesus entered into your humble abode, not simply your home, but Jesus has come into your flesh. He has become man, becoming one of us, into our muck and mire, in order to bring us from that muck and mire into his abode, into his house, in his kingdom forever. It seems like a pretty simple little story here. That's why we teach it to our kids. It's a pretty simple little story here in our gospel today. But Jesus visiting the home of this tax collector, this sinner, is a wonderful story of grace and forgiveness. And the story continues. I don't mean the story here of Zacchaeus, but the story of Jesus dining with sinners. Today and always, for eternity, Jesus has dinner with sinners like you and like me. Christ says in Luke chapter 5 and in Mark chapter 2, as people are questioning his practice of eating with sinners and things like that, Jesus says to them, "It's not the well who need the physician, but the sick. I've come not to call the righteous, but sinners." St. Paul also tells St. Timothy, in the first chapter of 1 Timothy, after listing his own sins, Paul's listing his sins of being a persecutor and so on, and blaspheming the name of God, then Paul says this, "Christ came into the world to save sinners. And Jesus said in our passage that he came to seek and to save the lost. In a few moments here this morning, we'll approach this altar for a meal, the Lord's Supper. It seems like such a simple meal, just like this story of Zacchaeus seems like such a simple story. But it is Christ visiting us with his grace and his forgiveness. He comes to us. He gives his very body and his blood to eat and to drink, and he proclaims to us that our sins are forgiven. This meal, this dinner, if you will, that we're about to eat, this meal is only for sinners. I know that doesn't kind of sound right for us to say. Maybe we seem like, wait a second, I think it's supposed to be for Christians. And yes, it is. But this meal is only for sinners. What do I mean by that? It means righteous people, perfect people, don't need forgiveness. Sinners need forgiveness. In this meal, our Lord comes to this dinner with sinners, now not as a guest like with Zacchaeus, but as the host. And he dines with us. He feeds us. It's not for those who think that they don't need forgiveness of sins. It's not for those who are self-righteous and think they got it figured out the way the Pharisees often did. This is a meal for sinners, for those who know that they've broken the commandments of God, for those that know that they fall short of the glory of God, for those that know that when they stand before the God on their own works and merit, they stand guilty. This meal is a dinner for sinners, where he dines with us, where he feeds us. So when we come to the table, we must recognize our sinfulness. The small catechism, Luther's small catechism, has this great question in there about who is worthy to come to the table of the Lord. And the answer, well, it tells us, you know, that fasting and bodily preparations are certainly good outward things, but the person is truly worthy who believes in these words given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Those who believe in those words given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. So as we come to this table, we come recognizing our sinfulness. If we deny that we're sinners, this meal is not for us. We come recognizing our sinfulness. And we come recognizing our need for forgiveness, desiring to receive that forgiveness. If you are unrepentant and don't desire the forgiveness of God, this meal is not for you. But we recognize our sinfulness, we recognize our need for forgiveness, and we believe and trust in those words the same way that Zacchaeus believed and trusted in those words of Jesus when he says, "Salvation has come to your house." We believe and trust in these words that he gives to you. Your sins are forgiven. That here he meets you. Here he comes to you. Here he feeds you. Just like at the house of Zacchaeus, salvation comes to this house today. Salvation dwells in this place. Salvation dwells with you. For Christ comes and he gives, he feeds, he forgives. Communion, as Pastor Eric mentioned earlier in the announcements, is for the baptized, the repentant, the sinner who knows he needs saving and forgiving and who has been taught and trusts in what Jesus gives us in the supper. Not mere bread and wine, but his body and blood for our forgiveness. It's a meal for sinners, that is, repentant sinners, those redeemed by his blood, but sinners nonetheless, those who need Jesus. We're Zacchaeus. We're Zacchaeus, sinners who need Jesus. Sinners who need Jesus to come to us And that's exactly what he does. So if you have no desire to repent, it's not for you. If you think you are righteous without it, it's not for you. But if you are like Zacchaeus, knowing your sinfulness and needing grace, it's for you. Jesus is for you. Zacchaeus receives this forgiveness, this for you forgiveness. And he says, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." The love and the grace of Jesus, the mercy and the forgiveness of Jesus that we receive in this meal leads us to walk in newness of life. That is, that when we come up to this table as repentant sinners to receive this food that our Lord offers to us for life and salvation, we come desiring that forgiveness, desiring Jesus, desiring him to be part of our lives, desiring him to work this forgiveness in our lives, and desiring that through that forgiveness of sins, through this new life in Jesus Christ, by the work of the Holy Spirit, we would walk in newness of life. We'd put off our old self, put off our sinful ways, not pretending like our sins are nothing, but looking to amend our life. Not in order to have Jesus come to us, but because Jesus has come to us. Because he comes to us and gives us forgiveness, we walk in this forgiveness. We look to live the way he wants us to live. Because Jesus has declared us innocent, forgiven. Salvation has come to you in Christ Jesus. So as we commune today, we commune as repentant sinners coming humbly before the table of the Lord where he meets us and pours out his grace. And as we commune today, we commune with all sinners who have been redeemed. Today, you'll notice that we have the white pyramids out here. Today, Friday was All Saints Day. And today we, if you will, have All Saints Day observed, even though we didn't use the scripture readings for that day, but for this Sunday in the church year. But when we think about All Saints Day, one of the things we're reminded of is that as Christians, as those who have been baptized, as those who have been washed clean in the blood of the Lamb, we are sinners who have been called saints. We are sinners who have been redeemed. We are at the same time saint and sinner is one of the things that the Reformation emphasized, that we are holy in the sight of God, not because of our holiness, but because the holiness of Jesus. So we're saints. But as we commune, we have this table and it kind of comes around like this. It doesn't quite end, if you will. Well, the table continues. It continues in the heavenly kingdom where the feast of the Lamb, the marriage supper of the Lamb and his kingdom has no end. Where we dine with all the saints who have gone before us. Those brothers and sisters in Christ who we've lost in this last year and for years before, and for all the saints who have gone long before us in history. We dine with them. As we all together dine with Jesus. And forever in Christ, with Jesus, we will dine in the marriage supper of the Lamb and his kingdom, which will have no end. This today, this dinner with sinners that we receive today, is a foretaste of the feast to come. Salvation has come to us today. We come humbly, confessing, knowing that we don't deserve his coming to us. But we come joyfully and with thanksgiving because he does come to us. And here we find life. In Jesus, we find life. Salvation has come to you today. Receive the Lord's Supper joyfully. Amen.